Paul Meacham Jr.
A British author named Huxley once wrote, "There's only one effectively redemptive sacrifice, the sacrifice of self-will to make room for the knowledge of God." This statement is incorrect, or at least incomplete. It's possible he was only referring to the sacrifice that man could make. But the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus made a sacrifice, for by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 9 and verse 12. Jesus made the great redemptive sacrifice for all mankind. But Huxley was correct in acknowledging that we must sacrifice our own will to make room for the knowledge of God. And that knowledge is so important. It's our topic today. Open your Bible, if you will, to John chapter 15. We then notice that the secret of obeying is loving. There are those who obey out of a motivation of fear. They obey because they have to. Or those who obey out of selfishness. They obey because they need to. But the purest of all motives is that of love, that they obey because they want to. And that's what we should try to create in our lives, that true obedience, that complete obedience that comes from doing what God says because of our love for Him and our desire to obey Him. That a person cannot truly love God without obedience, and that a person cannot be completely obedient to God unless it is motivated by his love for God, is that the secret of loving, in this case the secret of loving God, is knowing Him. In our text, John chapter 15 and verse 15, we read, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard of my Father I have made known to you." Jesus doesn't treat us as servants, although we truly are His servants. We should be, as the Apostle Paul called himself, His bond servant, the one who is a slave to Him. But Jesus treats us like friends. He tells us what He is doing. He gave us the information that we would know what His mission in earth or on earth was and what His mission in heaven is. He didn't leave us in the dark. All we need do is study His Word, and we will know what He's trying to accomplish. By doing so, He treats us much better than a servant. He treats us as a friend. Now, the point of our lesson today is that for us to truly live, we must bear fruit. To truly bear fruit, we must abide in Christ. To truly abide in Christ, we must obey. To truly obey, we must love, but we cannot love Him if we don't know Him. It's for this reason that God has provided His revealed will to us, that we might know Him and thereby love Him. It is the case with Jesus, as it is with many people, that the better we know Him, the more we can love Him. I'm reminded of the relationship of a husband and wife. Jesus often uses this analogy in the Bible, Himself as the bridegroom and the church as His bride. A man and woman might meet when they are young in life and fall madly in love with each other, but after they've been married for 50 years, will their love not be stronger then? Of course it should be. They've grown together over the years. They know each other much better, and that love should be much stronger. We find a very similar progression of knowledge with the child of God and Christ. There is what we will refer to as first knowledge. This brings about the initial obedience. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28, Jesus offered His invitation to all those who were laboring and heavy laden. He offered to give rest. The reason? "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." In that invitation, He invites us to come and to learn of Him. We must have this initial knowledge in order to initially be obedient to Him, this first knowledge. This is what teaches us enough about God to love Him, to see His holiness and His majesty, to see our own sinfulness and our need for His salvation, and to come to Him committing ourselves to Him. But a child of God must continue to grow. You cannot stay where you are at the beginning. You must continue to grow in knowledge. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3, beginning in verse 18, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." This should be our life ambition, to continue to grow in a knowledge of our Lord. Paul wrote to the Colossians in Colossians 1, beginning in verse 9, he said, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Paul prayed for the Colossians because he knew how difficult it is to live the Christian life here on earth. He knew that there are many temptations and many pitfalls, and he knew that they needed to continue to grow. And he prayed that they might grow in that knowledge. For by having knowledge, we can learn to love God, and remember that love moves us to obedience. This was Paul's goal for the Colossians, and it should be ours for each other, and of course, we should have the same goal for ourselves. The question we ask then is, how can I know God? If a knowledge of God will cause me to love Him, and the greater my knowledge, the greater my love could be, then how can I know God? We've noticed two different areas. The first is that of nature itself. We can know God from His creation. In Psalms 19, beginning in verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." The creation that God made talks about Him. It shows us part of His characteristics. In Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 20, Paul's referring to the fact that both Jew and Gentile through history have been disobedient to God, and that none of them have an excuse. Since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, referring to God, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Paul knew that we could look at nature and learn much about God. Now, we cannot learn all, but we can learn about His characteristics. We can see the majesty and the great design in nature and know that there is a powerful and loving God, that there is one much greater than we are. When we have that knowledge, it should push us to go forward. We should want to continue and learn more about Him. But there is a limit to what we can learn by looking at nature. While nature can teach us that there is a God, that the only reasonable conclusion is that someone of great power designed and made this world, it cannot tell us what He wants us to do. We only learn that by turning to His Word. We learn in Old Testament prophecy, we're told much about Christ. In Luke 24 and verse 44, He said, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." This means that when we turn back to the old law and we see both in the law of Moses and the prophets and also in the Psalms, we can learn much about the Christ based on what was written there. But the Gospel, the New Testament, also gives us a record of Jesus. In John 20, verses 30 and 31, we're told that He did many miracles that are not recorded in the Bible. They're not recorded because simply the book could not hold all of them. But these that we do have written are written so that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life in His name. We should turn to the Bible so that we can know more about God and know what He wants of us. In 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, we read, "Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." Now, if we don't know what those commandments are, we can't keep them. But by learning those commandments and keeping them, John tells us that is how we know that we know Him. This means that if we reject the Bible, or if we don't have a knowledge of the Bible, or if we have that knowledge but don't obey it, then we cannot know that we know Him. He who says, "I know Him," and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. Remember, we said that the key to loving God is to knowing Him. We want you to study God's word so that you can know Him and know what He wants you to do. Many times I hear people say that they want to know what God's will for their life is. Many times they try to find out what that is by praying to Him, hoping He will give them some kind of a mysterious sign that will show them the direction they should go. But the Bible teaches us that it reveals God's will for man. It tells us what His will for us is, and we can know what He wants us to do by studying it and then conforming our lives to what it says. And we hope that you will do that.